This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Dirty Diddy mistrial after all this, as we learn hotel night mouth sores and urinary tract infections are grossing out the jury. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Joining us, an all-star panel, but first, straight out to the Monahan Federal Courthouse, standing by special guest Tisa Tells, investigator, commentator, host of Tisa Tells on YouTube. Tisa, thank you for being with us. What's the latest from the courtroom today?
The latest on the courtroom today is Diddy's team is spiraling. Why? Because that motion for mistrial, the prosecution let it sit. They came in today and they asked the judge, can you let us address this tomorrow? Now, why are people on the inside of the courtroom saying, and of course the gossip streets saying why this is a bad thing, is because Diddy wanted to try to weigh a way to slow down or stop Jane Doe's testimony. A lot of people have been saying, it sounds like a jealous girlfriend. He was paying rent. I really don't know what to think. Today, it gets dark. Jane Doe is expected to testify that Diddy did a Cassie. He brutally assaulted her, bruised her up, blacked her eye, then made her put on makeup, perform, and do a freak-off hotel night, whatever Diddy's calling it these days, and to do it. Jane Doe has messages and whatever. Now, on the ground, Diddy's team, since his PR people on the ground since last Thursday, have been trying to connect with bloggers. They've been trying to connect with YouTubers. They've been trying to cozy up the press because it seems like as much as they say that Jane Doe's testimony is a non-starter, they are waiting for the other shoe to drop. So there was a lot of tension. And Judge Aaron, he called a mysterious lead counsel and the court reporter. He took them all into his chambers, just the two lead counsels and the court reporter. When he came out, the prosecution and the defense teams huddled like football players, and they were whispering furiously for 20 minutes. Nobody knows what they actually discussed, but it looks like it has both teams just shocked and a little bit thrown off.
Hold on just a moment. I want to go back over something you said. Tisa Tells joining you from the courthouse. Tisa, generally, when all the lawyers get together and they start fighting, it's either about a very important piece of evidence, a witness, or the schedule. Like if the judge said, we are ending July the 4th, get it together, that will throw them all into a panic. Now, I want to go back to what you said. Oh, there's so many things you said. I'm drinking from the fire hydrant here. Number one, what they said about a mistrial first thing this morning, that kicked it off, right? Mm-hmm. And then I want to talk to you about Jane, not her real name, being forced to put on makeup and get back in the ring, i.e. a hotel night. Now, that's putting perfume on the pig. A hotel night is more like a 24-hour sex marathon where she said she had to hold such weird sex positions for hours on end. Her back actually ached. This on top of mouth sores and UTIs. One juror, I think it was a lady juror, took a look at one of the hotel night or freak off pictures and actually covered her eyes and looked away. So much happening in the courtroom, and we have Diddy caught on tape. But first, to the mistrial, let me just say, continuance. They file for a mistrial and then they say, oh, you know what? We're going to deal with that tomorrow. Did that really happen?
So let me be clear. Okay, the prosecution told them to cool their jets and they will respond for the mistrial tomorrow. The defense came in very, very happy. They were skipping to the daisies. However, I think they expected the prosecution to come back with a bat and address the mistrial. And they said, for right now, Jane Doe's testimony that they have been trying to slow down and stop is 100% happening. And when you talk about all the horrible things, today's testimony is the most gruesome, the most disgusting, and the most shocking testimony we've heard.
Okay, to Troy Slayton joining me. Don't move, Tisa Tells. Troy Slayton joining me is a veteran trial lawyer out of the L.A. jurisdiction. He's tried a lot of cases. He's at Slayton Lawyers. Okay, Troy, I want to get your legal opinion because I've seen defense attorneys do it over and over again, and it's a tried and true tactic. They try, if you've got a good, the state puts up a really good witness, right? They try to slow it down. They try to throw it off. They have motions for mistrial. They, you know, knock over their bucket of water on the table. The client acts like he's going to pass out. Anything to slow down the witness. You know, like in a basketball game, you know, timeout. Right when the other side's about to score, timeout. Yeah, that's what that is. They're trying, because they're not going to get a mistrial. All right? That is total BS, technical legal term. They're not getting a mistrial. Right? Or the judge would have already granted it. That's not happening. But this is a way to slow down Jang's testimony. Agree or disagree?
Well, I think it's possible. I don't know exactly what the defense strategy is, but I know that both sides use tactics to slow things down. And in this case, the defense was really concerned about the jury repeatedly seeing Jane Doe's iPhone messages. And it was showing potentially prosecutors argue her state of mind. The defense attorneys argue that it was improperly bolstering her testimony and that it was hearsay. It was an out-of-court statement being offered for its truth, even though it was the statement of the witness.
Okay, so let me just break down what you just said. You state that it was an out-of-court statement that is being presented for its veracity or its truth.
That's called hearsay.
Like, that's bad. But when that particular witness is on the stand, there's no objection because the witness can be cross-examined on that. If the witness were not on the stand, it would amount to hearsay and it would be disallowed. Straight back out to Tisa Tells, joining us, investigator, commentator, host of Tisa Tells on YouTube. Okay, Tisa, I want to talk about him forcing her, Combs forcing Jane, not her real name, to put makeup over her bruises and get back in the ring.
Listen, that detail disgusted everyone. Everybody knows what is coming to get back into the ring and to do a Cassie. The thing is, being in the courtroom, there's a lot of legal arguments that can play. But when you saw the jury's faces, when you saw it erupt with disgust, when you saw each horrific, you talk about urination, you talk, how about the fact that there were pictures of, she demanded that her get pierced and it got infected and because it was pulling on the stripper costumes.
Okay, hold on. You kind of like glossed over that.
Mm.
I believe what you meant to say, Tisa Tells, is that Sean Combs demanded that Jane have her nipples pierced. She didn't want to. He insisted on it. They got infected. There's no nice way to say it. There was pus, and she removed the nipple piercings, and he got mad and demanded she re-pierce the nipples. Okay, hit me. Tell me the whole thing, and I especially want to hear, aside from the nipple piercings, I definitely want to hear about the jury looking disgusted, because there's nothing better for the state than a juror to actually get nauseated during the testimony. All right. Okay. Start at the beginning, Tisa.
So start at the beginning. Okay. The first time I saw the jurors get visibly disgusted, and there was a lot thrown out, was when she talked about the way he demanded, lied to her, induced her by fraud, tricked her into going to hotel nights, even though it was supposed to be them. She would show up. He would demand she would put on these stripper costumes, these 7-inch plastic heels slipping around a baby oil. And he even demanded, in addition to getting new veneers, that she get her nipples pierced. They would get snagged on the netting in these stripper costumes that she had to stay in for 36 to 40 hours. There was infection. There was pus. There was bleeding. When we heard that, we were all repulsed. But to see the effect on the jury, it really took it, everybody was just shocked and disgusted. Okay. She kept on telling about how while this was going, she had to take it out and he kept demanding you put those back in. When is it coming in? It really hammered home that he had complete control of her mind, her body. It was a performance that was on demand, okay? That was the first time I genuinely saw the jury saying, okay, this is too much. But since then in Jane Doe's testimony, the jury has been with Jane Doe, the level of brutality that's been played. Again, there are jurors that are middle age, a few that are younger, a lot that are older, men and women, rubbing their heads, making, covering their mouths and looking away uncomfortably. This is not going good with to Diddy. And to your point, I do believe this is why they are throwing spaghetti at the street and mobilizing anything they can to actually get this mistrial going.
Okay, we're hearing a lot from the stand. Now, I want you to hear, let me get the control room to pull it up. I want to hear Sean Combs' voicemail. But first, I want to address with you, Tisa, what we just heard from Troy Slayton about Jane's messages, text messages to Sean Combs. What did they reveal?
They revealed that unlike Cassie, who you have the violence, so a normal person, a reasonable person wouldn't think that that was consensual. But Jane had an extra level. Continued messages. I don't like this. You lied to me. You said it would be just us this time. You're making me take pills and show up and perform. You're using me as your own, for lack of better words, a prostitute. I'm just a toy to you. But it was continually hammering. No, I don't want this. No, that I don't want this. You tricked me. You lied to me. And I see why the defense is so worried, because it was not playing well with the jury. Everything that they said that Cassie didn't have as evidence, Jane actually has. And again, with each message, every single message at one time said, you lied to me. I just want you. I don't want this. I don't want to do this. Can we stop, please? And there were messages even to KK, who I'm sure you guys are aware, the prosecutors named as a co-conspirator in court last week. So it was really pulling together the RICO and really proving, pulling in that it wasn't a grown woman making a grown decision. This was force. This was brutality. And it literally was when she stopped saying, yeah, I'm fine with the party. And when she started saying no, that's when the Diddy that Cassie knows actually came forward. So it was a really powerful moment in court.
You know, Tisa Tells, I was thinking about something that Jane, not her real name, said on the stand. She was dating, so to speak, Sean Combs, and they were making out. And he says, well, I have a fantasy. And she says, well, what's the fantasy? And he describes bringing in a, quote, entertainer, which is a male sex worker, for the sex worker to have sex with Jane while he watches and masturbates and directs. And she said, you know, and I guess a show of goodwill, oh, yeah, that would be great someday. And he goes, okay, stop everything. And right there on the spot, he gets up, gets on the phone, and arranges a hotel night, a.k.a. freak-off, that night. And she's like, wait, well, what? Could you describe that?
So that was actually shocking to see it play out in front of the jury, too, okay? So you have her saying, at first I was like, where are they going? Because she was painting a love story. She has a very smooth, very sultry, sweet, innocent voice at the same time, you know? And she was saying, you know, Sean and I, you know, we made love. It was so passionate. He was so good to me. At one point, even the jury was like, is this happening? However, when she started saying, and then the first night, it was so passionate. And he said, hey, have you ever heard of voyeurism? And he started broaching the idea. And she said, I went along with it because I wanted to please my partner. And the shock, I think the room actually gasped. And the shock on the jury's face when she said she went to the bathroom after saying that. And she came back into the room. And he had a serious look in his face. And he was on his phone in a bathroom and said, before she left, she said, I can make this happen if you want. And she said, I mean, yeah. Again, she still sounds like she thinks it's fantasy. And she said in less than 2 hours, she found herself in the room. A pill popped into her mouth. You okay? A pill popped into her mouth, which, by the way, I think the first time he gave her that pill, she almost OD'd. Okay? But a new pill popped into her mouth, and from then, she was doing something she never imagined she'd do. And even at that time, it's this weird disconnect where she was saying in such a sweet, sultry voice, you know, like, I did it to please my partner, and I told him I enjoyed that. And the whole time, the prosecution is leading us down this road to hell, because with each time, it started off saying, well, maybe she did want it, and then it led down a road to hell. And again, the way that she went from saying, I'm really enjoying it, to the time the testimony had ended, she is saying, I don't want this. You lied to me. You think this of me. You think that of me. And he is still, at this point, not only demanding the hotel nights, he classed it up since the free calls. The free calls were early 2000s. Now he's into hotel nights. Then it moved into him threatening to throw her out of the house at $10,000 rent, and also threatening violence. However, we're now seeing him jump the shark and getting into the Sean Diddy Combs violence. So it was a lot. It was a lot for the jury to take in.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Yeah, that's my friend. I'm in Miami. I don't have a lot of friends out here, okay? She asked me if she could work out with me. I said, okay. You got to believe what you want. It's the last time you're going to be cursing at me, disrespecting me over nothing. Like, I'm a human being. I'm not going to lock myself up in a room and have no friends. I don't have a bunch of guy friends. I already told you that. And she just came over to work out. Like, but I'm not going to be explaining to you. It don't matter if I just got finished her the other day. I'm single. I could do whatever the I want to, but I didn't. You're straight flipping out on me, and I told you that you had one more time to do this. Flipping out on me because somebody came to work out with me at my house. You're nuts. So be sad, go crazy, do whatever the you want to do, okay? I don't deserve you. I don't deserve being honest with somebody, and then every time they see somebody around, they like, I'm doing something, because I'm working out.
What a big fat lie. Joining us at the Monahan Courthouse, Tisa Tells with us, investigator and commentator, host of Tisa Tells on YouTube. Wait, Sean Combs actually trying to tell Jane, not her real name, that he has a girl over in workout tights and a workout bra at his house, and all they're doing is working out. And when she rightfully gets angry, he says, you're crazy. I'm leaving you. I'm not putting up with you. I'm single. And in the earlier message that was played in court, Troy Slayton was pointing out messages from her to him, trying to get out of hotel nights. He says, get on your job, because that's really all it is. Okay, describe these two messages we just heard.
Okay, so that first message, I think, was the first moment that Diddy's defense team said, we need another mistrial motion. Because when that message was played and he said, you need to get on your job, I believe everybody's mind flashed to Cassie when Cassie said, this was my job. But at that moment, there was one juror, and I think this gentleman encompassed what the courtroom felt. He literally put his hand on his head, rubbed the top of his head, and just took a deep sigh and dropped his hands. It literally hit the courtroom like a bomb. Again, the prosecution, I think at that moment, everybody said, okay, this is RICO. This is sex trafficking by fraud. But when it descended into the gaslighting, where she's still saying in her sweet honey voice, you know, I tried to be everything he wanted, and I wanted to be everything for him. And then I see him give this girl everything I didn't have. She was in a thing. The level of gaslighting, the level of manipulation, and the level that even the men on the jury, and I'm not going to lie, I was worried about the men on the jury. When they looked at him, everybody was just looking and had the same thing. Like, you are just horrible through and through. But this is a pattern. It is a game. And why this girl is so in love with you, you are literally doing the pimp Romeo tactic of love bombing or grooming her and then pull her back. It was really, really bad. And I think at that time, they said, we need a mistrial. We need to try to derail this train.
So Tisa Tales joining us at the courthouse. I know you're not an actress, but could you just display for me some of the disgusting looks the jury is making? I got to see this.
Okay, so one juror, which I'm not going to lie, before she seemed to not be buying anything the prosecution was putting down. I looked at her, I looked at them as ground zero of this might be the nullification. When she saw the pictures, okay, it was this. She literally recoiled.
straight out to renowned psychoanalyst joining us from Beverly Hills, Dr. Bethany Marshall. She is the author of Deal Breakers. You can see her now on Peacock, and you can find her at drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany, when I heard his words, it's a job. That's all it is. That sealed it. He is sex trafficking. He's luring these women, as Tisa Tell said, in the pimp Romeo style, and then using them for sex shows even when they are unwilling.
Nancy, what's the difference between this and some guy standing in a trench coat on a street corner looking for little girls walking by and then pretending to love them and then gaining control over them and then giving them gifts and then threatening to withdraw their love if the little girl doesn't go along with them, and then saying, well, now you've taken this on as a job, so you can't stop doing this. It's the same tactic, whether it's from a pedophile, sex trafficker on the street, P. Diddy. It never wavers or changes. And when we think of the domestic abuse hotline, I was looking at the science of domestic abuse, possessiveness, control, belittling, humiliating you in front of other people. I could go on and on, but this is domestic abuse, yes, but at a more serious level, it is sex trafficking.
Joining me now, host of Naughty But Nice podcast. You can find him at robshuter.substack.com. That's Shooter, S-H-U-T-E-R, author of The Forward Answer, and more importantly, for tonight, the former PR guru for Sean Combs. I was concerned that when you heard his voice on those messages, it might give you flashbacks. But see, he would show one side, the side that you orchestrated, Rob Shooter, to the public, the glam ditty. But now we're learning about Pimp Diddy. That's what we're learning. This woman, Jane, had mouth sores, repeat urinary tract infections, and would be forced to hold weird sex positions for hours on end to where she actually developed a back ailment. Yet you heard the way he talked to her, basically throwing her back in the ring. Thoughts?
It's really an alarming, a horrifying insight. I've spoken to you before, Nancy, about how Diddy sees his life like a movie. He plots his life out. I think Jane here has outdone her teacher. The pupil has become the master here. What she did on the stand was so amazing. It started as a love story, as a rom-com, and it turned into this horror movie. It was very theatrical. It was very cinematic. And it's going to be very impactful. I spoke to my Diddy sources, and for the first time during this trial, I'm told they're really, really nervous. They were confident, overconfident for a long time. Nancy, that tide has changed. Now they fear. They're real, real fear coming out of Team Diddy.
And you know what, Rob Shooter? You, with all these years as a PR expert, the jury can very likely smell the stink of fear. You can actually, it's like a presence in the courtroom. Once the tide turns, suddenly the whole dynamic changes in the courtroom. And I want to hear from your point of view specifically how Sean Combs is responding to this turn in the tide.
He'll be shocked. So at first he'll be in denial about it. I've been at a lot of his shows and some of them did not go very well. And he used to say afterwards, I could feel the crowd. I'm losing the crowd. That's what he must be feeling right now. He is losing this jury. However, knowing Puffy like I do, he doesn't give in without a fight. He's going to be screaming at his lawyers. He's going to be screaming at his team. It's no coincidence that suddenly his PR machine is outside the trial trying to influence people to say nice things. They know they're in trouble, but they are not giving up without a fight.
Did you hear, Rob Shooter, that Ray J, who I got in a big knockdown dragout with the other day over Sean Combs, has now threatened to leave the country because of the Diddy trial? He should want to stay in the country because of the Diddy trial, because these women are being represented in court. They're being given a voice after years of abuse. But he wants to leave the country?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Him and Alec Baldwin? Bye.
I heard this story. I saw your conversation with him. I think it's about being being a coward. You know, Nancy, I do not have to sit down and get on your show with you as much as I enjoy talking to you, Nancy. But I think people that worked with Diddy, people that maybe once defended Diddy, have to now speak out. You can't be quiet. You can't run away. That is being complicit. You have to speak out. There are a lot of people in New York, around the world, who made a lot of money by being around Diddy, editors of magazines, executives at Estee Lauder, the fragrance company, executives at Macy's, where they sold his clothing line. Where are all those people now? I try to comment call a lot of them, and nobody's returning my calls. They are all running away, maybe not leaving the country, but they're running away.
Running away from Sean Combs. And also what's concerning, for instance, here, Ray J is a great example. He seems very likable. You know, a lot of people think he's handsome and talented. If he is siding with Sean Combs after all this testimony, that's not good, because it's a test for who on the jury could be feeling the same way. Back to Tisa Tales joining us outside the courthouse. You described one juror, a lady juror, who you've been a little worried about up front. And then you went to two other jurors, I believe you said, on the back left.
Yeah, so in the middle row on the left, okay? They're sharing a monitor. Again, I have to tell you how impactful this was. The prosecution didn't just show one picture, two picture. It was like again, again, and again. So it was rapid fire. And they were leaning in almost as if they were looking at like gruesome carnage and leaning out. At one point, she looked to the side. The jury was visibly uncomfortable. They were squirming. They literally had to look away, and the prosecution didn't let up. Another picture, another picture, another picture. And it was so impactful. Again, I'm not going to lie, at that time, I think mistrial. They started to get the idea of throwing in another mistrial. The jury was repulsed, but again, the shock, the awe, leaning in like, what is that? Oh my God. It was a lot. Again, we wanted to see what was on those photos too, but I see the point the prosecution was making. Like, these are very graphic, disgusting, whatever it is, but it brought it home on what a hotel night was, a dirty freak off.
Tisa, what about the male jurors? Are they responding the same way as the lady jurors?
I gotta say, I was a little bit concerned about the male jurors, but when it comes to the graphic nature and the pictures, they also were very, very disgusted. Again, leaning in, what is that? Rubbing their heads, looking to the side, just being like, or these sighs of, oof, like it was a lot. Again, the prosecution, through all of the smoke screens, you know, they are moving forward. Now, and again, when we heard testimony about the 10,000 rent and whether, you know, she was a girlfriend or not, it seemed like they might have been losing them. But the pictures, it brought it home.
You know, to Troy Slayton, trial lawyer out of L.A., when a grown man looks away from a photo of a sex scene with disgust, a man looks away, it's bad.
Yes, but here's what really concerns me, Nancy, is that the prosecutors shouldn't overplay their hand. They've got a lot of great evidence against Diddy, but if they engage in prosecutorial misconduct,
why do you?
If they engage in prosecutorial misconduct,
now first you said the state doesn't have enough evidence to prove this. Now you're saying the state's putting on too much evidence. It's wrong.
What they can't use is one witness to say that Diddy is a liar again and again, unless he testifies. So the federal rules of evidence are very specific.
Evidence, that's all you've got
that
to
defendant
say,
is a liar,
for
can
grown
only
men
be brought in
looking away from a photo of a naked woman.
Nancy,
they're disgusted, they're nauseated, they're grossed out, and you're talking, that's what I'm asking,
use the evidence.
But you're trying to make me talk about something
else. If
they
have a great, wonderful playbook of all this evidence, why don't they just stick to that? Why do they try to overplay their hand by keeping to show these text messages that say that Diddy is a liar, because the federal rules...
Yeah, it's terrible when you have a royal
but
flush.
But the federal rules don't allow it.
Jane says Diddy flew her to Vegas on his private jet so they could have a hotel night, where Jane says she had sex with an entertainer, other men she would have sex with at Combs' direction. Combs uses the term freak to refer to her, sometimes saying he wants his freak, meaning he wanted her to be wild and sexual.
Jane asked Diddy on multiple occasions to allow the men he was directing her to have sex with wear condoms during hotel nights, but Diddy was dismissive. A conversation was captured on video of a hotel night. Jane can be heard asking Don to wear a condom, but Diddy intervenes. When Prosecutor Comey asks why Jane needed Combs' permission to have the men wear a condom, Jane gets emotional, saying she was still trying to process that.
Tisa Tales, joining us from the courthouse, would not allow her to have the guy, the entertainer, sex worker, paid sex worker, wear a condom. He insisted that she have unprotected sex with a male sex worker. And you hear it on the audio.
You hear it on the audio. You hear her sweet caramel baby boy saying, can we please? It's on the chair. Can you just get it? And you hear Diddy coming in saying, what are you talking about? You already did it once. You already took the D without it. At that point, again, people were on the fence. Is this a love story? Because she was painting it as a love story. It actually sounds like she still loves this guy, but she was still telling her truth. And when that happened, the repulsion, there was a gasp in the courtroom, and the repulsion that you saw on the jurors' faces. And that's when the men realized there is not a person on earth that would choose, I would hope not, to have unprotected sex with a entertainer willingly, unless there was something else going on. So it was a very shocking moment in the courtroom. And I think hearing him bully her on camera, on tape, was a lot. It was a lot to take in.
You hear that, Troy Slayton? The death knell. I hear it again. It's coming from the witness stand in the Diddy trial.
For whom the bell tolls.
Thoughts?
Yes.
That's your thought? You ripped off the title of a book?
Nancy, the bells don't mean anything
yes.
here. What matters is what happens in the courtroom. And there are rules that both sides have to follow.
Okay, I think I know somebody that disagrees with you. Her name is Lynn Shaw. She is the founder and director of Lynn's Warriors, a nonprofit, which means a lot to me because she ain't in it for the money, dedicated to stopping sex trafficking and abuse of women and girls. Thoughts?
Thoughts? I'm jumping out of my chair here. Triple D, dirty D, degenerate. I am so happy. I'm going to use the word happy. I never smile. I never say I'm happy. I am happy that we are in week 5 of this trial because Jane has brought forth now all of this that I was hoping and praying for because I've been involved, Nancy, in so many of these cases with victims, sex trafficking, and we can't prove them. I've been so worried, but you know what? Jane put us over the edge, and I'm so glad Tisa is here to lay out what the jury, how they're reacting, their facial expressions, they're disgusted. And you know what? Real men don't beat women. So I'm happy to hear they're repelling. They're looking disgusted. The women are looking away because, again, I always maintained Cassie video. Now we have Jane. Now we have all this testimony. And you know what? Jane is a victim of trauma bonding. I am waiting. I am hoping somebody takes, you know, the stand that's going to describe what these women go through, this trauma bonding. They think they're in love, but they're just attached to this abuse. And furthermore, in the work we do, sex is not work. So when I hear get back on your job or whatever he said, you know what? That says to me sex trafficking. That says to me prostitution. That says to me pimp. That says to me brothel owner. So you know what? This is a great week. We've started strong. Let it continue. Dirty Diddy going down.
Tisa Tales joining us outside the Monahan Federal Courthouse. Tisa, I asked you about the jurors' reactions, which is really important to me at the end of every day during a trial. Not at the end of the trial, but every day. I would stand in front of the jury box after everybody had left the courtroom, typically with my longtime investigator of 10 years, Ernest. And we would go through, okay, juror one sits here, blah, 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 and go through each one and describe what we observed their reactions to be during the trial, because it matters. If one juror is not responding to the testimony, I would argue directly to that juror or ask my questions to the witness over here while looking at that juror to get the juror. So now I want to hear about the defendant, Sean Combs. How is Combs and or his defense team, which is a multi-million dollar ensemble, how are they responding?
So the defense team, Tenny Garagos and Mark Agnifilio, okay, they seem to always be in a constant huddle. But here's the weird part. I firmly believe Sean Diddy Combs is in complete control of his legal team. He's always furiously writing notes, telling them, interrupting when they're doing their questioning, passing notes for them to pay attention. They have been furiously huddling to themselves, but then also looking at Sean to actually see how he's taking it. Brian Steele is also very casually always looking over and checking the waters. The last few days of the Jane Doe trial, he has been upset. He has not been happy. Even his minions that he has trying to make nice with all the bloggers and the media, there is an urgency, and I'm not going to lie, a bit of desperation that's going down. How's he behaving? Oddly, also, I think that's when you really see his issues with power and control. After the judge yelled at him last week, he's been oddly staring at the judge, deciding to get up for no reason in the middle of court so he could pour himself a glass of water, doing all these weird games, for lack of a better word. But it's starting to reek of desperation. And that's why it's so odd that when you hear about the mistrial on the outside, yeah, it sounds like they might have something. But in that court, Jane is having them in a meltdown, and Diddy seems to have a constantly angry and kind of defiant look when his mask slips, and he keeps trying to keep us cool, but they're looking at him. I think the real Sean Combs is starting to come out.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Jane sniffles on and off, and Comey asks about the time she cried after hotel nights. Jane says the first time was early in her relationship with Combs in Beverly Hills at the Waldorf. She thought they were going to have a one-on-one date night, but Diddy said they would have an entertainer, but it would be quick. The entertainer was there for 18 hours, and once they were finished with the entertainer, Diddy told her he had to leave. Jane began to cry, and Combs looked disgusted. The second time, Jane was having sex with Paul. Then she remembers being in the shower with Combs, and she starts to cry. Combs tells her, don't do that right now, because he was too high. She stopped crying.
Okay, to Tisa Tales joining us at the courthouse, the star of Tisa Tales on YouTube. I'm just imagining how the jury's responding to her crying on the stand. We can't see a picture of her, just those horrible sketches that come out of the courtroom. What does she look like? What is her demeanor? I mean, is she making the jurors feel protective of her?
Listen, I felt protective of her. Her demeanor is very, very feminine, okay? Not seductive, just very feminine, very pleasing. Her voice sounds like warm sunshine, but I gotta tell you about those cries. It's hard, and I think the defense realized she was gonna be a problem the first time her voice broke. When I say her cries sound like the way I would imagine a bunny rabbit being tortured sounds, they are gut-wrenching, they are heartbreaking, and it literally does something to convey the level of pain. Again, my eyes teared up when I heard her voice crack and when she said it. And he told me. But there's a thing where you feel somebody's heart is breaking to their soul. It really woke the jury up. The jury was at attention. And you know what? When I looked at the jury, they were starting to take notes after that. Again, this wasn't regular. Oh, I was so sad. It was heart-wrenching cries of just complete destitute. Again, imagine a bunny rabbit being tortured. And that's what you felt like listening to her cry. So again, it's hard to hear it in the transcripts and to convey the way she is swaying the jury, but she is a problem. And let's also not forget the defense is also arguing that they want to bring Dr. Hughes back. I think that's the victory lap, but also keep in mind with her that the violence, we have the coercion, we have the fraud, but the violence is coming in. So again, I think they have a problem. They have a huge problem.
Dr. Bethany Marshall, when she, Tisa Tell, said it sounded like a bunny rabbit, a little bunny being tortured, Dr. Bethany, And did you hear that? It was very quick. But Combs says, I'm bringing in an entertainer. Their euphemism, talk about airbrushing, for a paid sex worker. And he says, it'll be quick, right? That's like what I would tell the children when they're about to get a big shot, you know, at the pediatrician. It's going to be fast. It's going to be all over. And it lasted 18 hours. And the woman had back ailments from 18 hours of holding these weird sex positions.
And Nancy, this is why the male as well as the female jurors look disgusted and revulsed. Disgust is sort of an instinctual response to something that we think will harm us or be dangerous to us. It's what helps us to survive as a species. So it makes me think about, what are they looking at in those pictures? They're not just looking at people having sex. They're looking at people being hurt. That's why they are disgusted. And Jane is so fascinating because she has elicited empathy. Empathy is very hard for human beings when they're inundated with data, and it's hard for juries. But when somebody cries softly like a bunny and they talk about the experience of being in love with somebody who ends up torturing them, that is very relatable. It's human. We've all gone through that on some level, whether it's just going out on a date and then the guy ghosts you or never calls you again, that kind of pain is heartbreaking. So I think this is our magic moment where the jury is going to really has been grasping the true essence of the sex trafficking and the torture.
And then Rob Sheeter gaslighting her by having other women over to, quote, work out. I mean, she goes for 18 hours with a male sex worker. 18 hours gets urinary tract infections, mouth sores, and chronic back pain. And then he invites a woman over to, quote, work out and dares to get mad at her when she's hurt.
It's horrific.
Who is this guy?
We don't know who this guy is, but he is just we know he's a bad guy, but what I think doesn't matter. It's what the jury thinks. And I've got to agree here. This is a turning point. Nancy, I'm telling you, all my Diddy sources, all the people I have been speaking to, they thought they were really quite arrogant and confident and, dare I say, last week, even a little bit cocky. It's changed. They are frightened. Diddy is scared. Something has happened in this court, and that person, that something, is Jane. This testimony is a problem.
Lynn Shaw joining us from Lynn's Warriors. There is no way that an 18-hour sex session with a male sex worker is consensual. No way.
Now you understand from day one, Nancy, why I always called him Dirty Diddy. 18 hours? I think that's force, coercion, forcing these women to do things like this. This testimony, I gotta keep saying it, Jane has turned the whole case around. Because I agree with Rob, because I heard from a few sources. Up until now, it's been kind of, they were worried about things. But now, Jane has turned it all around. But 18 hours, can you imagine? We work with women, their bodies, what their bodies go through, what their minds go through, and what happens at the end of 18 hours? So I also want to point out, what's happening in the court? Do we have there some counselors for somebody like a Jane when she's done relaying all this information? I'm very worried about these women, Cassie included, Jane. And so you know what? We have to always focus on victims, victims, survivors. And I hope there's somebody there for them in the courtroom.
We wait as justice unfolds. Goodbye, friend. This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.